Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Just Egg. You can't have plant-based breakfast without a plant-based egg. You can get started with a free sample. Just head to ju.st/hrn.
This week on Meat and Three, we continue our series on global food trade. We've covered sugar and spice. Next up, bites.
Iran has been subjected to the far and away the most severe, stringent, painful sanctions regime that has been inflicted on a country in peacetime ever.
Servers would come around with little carts or trays carrying these things, and they would cry out what they were providing. So you get, "Hog al-siumai!" So my young son, when he was 3 or 4 years old, referred to dim sum places as screaming places.
Tune in to Meat and Three, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Cooking Issues. This is Dave Arnold, your host of Cooking Issues, coming to you live on the Heritage Radio Network every Tuesday from, you know, actually, you know, with the COVID thing, we're usually pretty close to noon, right, Nastassia?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. We got Nastassia the Hammer Lopez back on the sunny shores of Connecticut. How you doing?
Good. Great.
They've repaired your window that got blasted out by the last storm. However, they replaced it with milky plexiglass.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well,
it was
at least it was
a previously clear window, I assume.
Yeah. It was made out of glass. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Nastassia, on the plus side, at least it's not like a view of the water. It's not an important window.
Right. Yes. I know.
People, it is, in fact, a view of the water. It's an important window. It's the only reason. So basically, Nastassia has like a New York-sized apartment in Connecticut. However, it is right on the water. But without the window, I don't know.
You wouldn't know.
No.
You just wouldn't know. You wouldn't know. That's the problem. You wouldn't know. We got Matt. You're back in the island of Rhode and all of that.
He said he's going to be there forever.
Forever. It's a long time. It's a mighty small state to say you're going to be in it forever.
I mean, yeah. Not only that, but I've actually, I'm going to be on this island. I'm on a Quidneck Island within Rhode Island. So I'm like, it's even smaller than you think.
Explain a Quidneck to me. It sounds like a clam variety, like a delicious clam, but maybe it'll make a big one that you would use for stuffies or chowder. What's a Quidneck?
I have just gotten so used to every single word that sounds like that being a Native American tribe that I didn't even think to ask that question. I assume it was the local tribe.
You know, my favorite Rhode Island name is Musquamaket.
That's a good one.
Musquamaket. By the way, out there, hope everyone's doing okay. Like we're right now are, like strangely, our weather is fine. The rest of the country is hosed. So I hope, you know, anyone that is losing power gets their power back and everything goes all right. I hope, you know, if you're growing citrus in Texas, for instance, that your crop isn't completely ruined because they're harvesting. Like all the grapefruits are being harvested right now. They're only like halfway through the harvest. And I think the storm hit so hard and like so fat, they just weren't used to like this level of stuff. And so I don't even think they could go out and do their frost mitigation stuff for like the grapefruits and the Valencias that they have growing down there in Texas. So, you know, people first, I hope the people are okay. And then after that, I hope people's, you know, agricultural livelihood isn't getting destroyed. But it doesn't look great for some people. So anyway. Anything else going on with you guys? Anything good? Anything? Or should I just dive right into questions?
No, just dive.
Just dive? I did something fun. You want to hear it? Yeah. All right. So, for Valentine's Day, I did baked potato and the A5 Wagyu. That was delicious. I did my standard, but don't even ask me anymore how to do steak. The answer for a ribeye, and I'm only talking ribeye now, the answer for a ribeye is about 54 degrees Celsius until the center gets up to 54, at which point I immediately drop that sucker down to 52 and then let it ride, and then just let it ride. You know, like hours, a couple hours more. And then, you got to drop it down far enough for the sear. So because the A5 cost so much, it wasn't so thick. I dropped it all the way down to about 40. You know, I just pulled it out and let it come down like almost to 40 Celsius before I did the sear off. But it's a good technique for steak. I recommend you use it. But that's not what's fun that I did. Now, this is not about the bread baking, okay? That is, but you know, everyone knows I've been doing the bread, as a lot of us have during COVID. I know it bothers Nastasia, but it's not about that. So I had to have the bread, right? But like, you know how when you like get fresh bread, you have to wait for it to slice it, right? Because it's too hot. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So because if you slice it too soon, like it gets all gummy and nasty. It's like all huge problems. Like you got to let the starch set up and like. Even for rye, you got to let it set for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. But anyway, so the bread's about to come out of the oven, and I realize it's late, and everyone's gonna want to eat. I'm cranky because, as you know, Nastasia, as you know, I'd be blunching. So as a bluncher, like I'm getting like rancid, more rancid than normal around dinner time. You know what I mean?
This is Valentine's Day, or this is last night?
No, this is like a couple nights ago. It was like Saturday or something like that. So anyways, so like it's getting time. And then I remember reading that, people use a vacuum to cool off bread more quickly, right? So I'm like, I'm going to use a vacuum to cool off bread. Now the theory, folks, is that, you know, as you suck a vacuum, you're lowering the temperature at which water boils. But as the water boils, right, you're boiling off water, but that boiling takes a lot of heat to accomplish. Not temperature, heat. So what's happening is heat is leaving the bread rapidly, like really rapidly, and cooling it down. And I was like, I'll give it a try because I've read about it and, you know, whatever, it might hurt the keeping qualities, whatever. So now remember, this is a crusty style whole wheat bread. So here's the first mistake, and I'll never do this again. I have a small commercial vacuum machine at my house, which is why, by the way, I've never tested out any of these non-commercial vacuum machines, because until someone sends me one to test, I have no reason to go buy one because I have a small commercial machine at home. Anyways. So I take all of the plate. Commercial vacuum machines are like big chambers. Mine is small, but, you know, chamber, and it's full of these plastic plates to take up extra room, right? So I pulled all the plates out. I opened the oven door, literally opened the oven door, took the bread directly out of the oven, and blap, put it right into the vacuum machine and closed the lid. The oil starts, you know, the oil pump comes on, and then all of a sudden everything fogs over. So all of a sudden I start seeing all of these specks and dots. I'm like, what's going on? Like something awful is happening. You know, in those horror movies when they're inside that room and the fog sprays all over everything, and then you kind of just see the handprint hit the window and wipe down, and you know something terrible is going on?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like that on the inside of my vacuum machine. When I finally stopped it, I let it run for like a minute. I finally, I opened it. The entire...
Half bread, half fly.
Well, no, here's the thing. Well, yeah, I wish. That would have been amazing. So the good news is, the bad news is, like, my oil was completely contaminated. The inside of my machine was completely coated in a fine, moist powder of sesame seeds and wheat bran. And it was a complete and utter vacuum machine disaster. So if I'm going to do this again, I need to figure out a way to have that not happen to my vacuum machine. It took hours to clean it. Anyways, but the bread... I want you to know, people, that like this radical kind of vacuum chilling, it did shatter the inside of the crust a little bit because I hit it real hard, real fast. But I could literally directly from the 450 degree oven into the thing, and within a minute, I could pick up the bread. It was cold enough to pick up in my hands. And the crust was the most shattering crust, the most like crunchy, shattering crust, but I hadn't evaporated that much stuff out of the crumb. So the crumb was still soft and moist, but it was the sickest, the best whole wheat bread crust I've ever produced. It was nuts. So I'm going to experiment some more. Yeah, yeah. So that's my vacuum machine trick of the week in review. For those of you that don't know, it because it does evaporate some moisture, it may affect keeping qualities. There's some studies on the internets that say that it may also affect staling. It might stale faster. But when you're going to bake a loaf and you want to eat it right now, right away, if you can figure out a way to have it not ruin your machine, you know, maybe good idea. Yeah.
Are you saying that it was just like extraneous things that you had put on the exterior that caused the ruining of the machine? Like if you hadn't put any seeds of any kind or anything, it would have been fine.
Well, I think it was violent enough that it like atomized is the wrong word, but the crust got so crunchy that I think like the rapid evaporation, like literally popped little tiny, like
bits of the crust would have come off had there been nothing else. Yeah.
I mean, I could test this, but I mean, like, you know, my standard bread making technique is I do a relatively high hydration, like around 80% hydration on a whole wheat dough. Right. And then I do my, you know, forming it into a round. And then I just take a giant, I take a stainless steel bowl and I fill it, not fill it, but I fill it with sesame seeds. And then I just drop the just formed. So I mold the bread on a wet board, right, so that it doesn't stick. And then I just take this like tacky, wettish thing, and then I drop it into the sesame seeds, flip it. So I have a ball that looks like a sesame seed, giant sesame seed candy. It's just all sesame. And then I throw bran into my you know, baskets, my raising baskets, and throw it in. So my bread always has on the outside bran and sesame. So I could run a test where I don't do that. But, you know, I'm saying if you have anything on the outside, whether it's rice flour or anything, that sucker's going to spray all over your vacuum machine in the most unpleasant way. But I'm wondering if I just stick it, like if I stick it inside of like a bag, you know what I mean? Like some, maybe even a paper bag, one that can take the heat, you know what I mean? And then throw it in there. Maybe the paper bag can take most of the hit, you know? We'll find out. We'll find out. I will test again. I will let you know.
We got a question in chat. Can we just let them jump to the front?
Okay. I mean, Nastasia's got things to say about that, but they're here. They want to know. That's good, right, Stas?
Yeah. Alpha Romeo and Juliet, who I think is a new first time caller. Any tips for crispy sweet potato fries? I've tried Pectin X, SPL, and breading, and I'm looking for other ideas.
Yeah, the Pectin X trick isn't going to... So the Pectin X trick, any one of the... All of the tricks, like pre-boiling, drying, the Pectin X, modernist cuisines, ultrasonic McGillicuddy that they do to it, these are all techniques to kind of mess with the surface of the fries to make it so that they give up their moisture and get crunchy before the inside of the fry gets dry and hollow, right? That's what that's all about. Problem on a sweet potato fry, because of all of the sugar, right? It doesn't work, right? It just doesn't work. So you can't really treat the surface of a sweet potato fry to make it good, let's say. So the solution has to be some sort of coating on the outside. So breading might be a little bit intense, but there are people who do starch coatings. And the idea Nastasia, you don't like French fries, so you don't like sweet potato fries. What about you, Matt?
Sweet potato fries? I like sweet potato fries, although I go for regular French fries over sweet potato fries most of the time.
Right. But if you wanted to make a good sweet potato fry, I think the answer is going to be, and you want it to look at as not breaded as possible, it's all going to be about the proper starch coating. And there really is no other way to do it. I mean, I guess you could literally dehydrate the outside, but it's still, you have an issue. You could do, I don't even know why I'm telling you this, unless you have a, the equipment already. It's not like you can go do vacuum frying. Vacuum frying might be another option, because then you can turn the temperature down such that you're not scorching the sugar. But even so, it's hard without a good starch coating. So I would say just tune your starch coating to be better. All right? That makes sense, guys?
Yeah.
Makes sense?
No? Makes sense.
Yes.
All right. Brian Leonza wrote in, hey, next week on the podcast, can you say whether there's an actual difference between using a sugar cube and just using simple syrup in cocktails, I guess, other than the obvious dilution, which can be adjusted? Thanks. Yeah, for sure. So like a sugar cube, first of all, so if you're using a sugar cube, some people are doing a thing where, Stassi, have you ever had this presentation before where they take this sugar cube and they hit it with a dash of Angostura bitters and they put it in the bottom of your flute and then they pour the, you like that or dislike it?
I don't see the point.
Oh, all right. Well, it means it adds a little bit of sugar, but it's mainly a visual thing. It's mainly if you like it. It's mainly if it floats your boat. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people, they like it. You know what I mean? Just from they like the whole ritual of it. You know what I'm saying? But if you don't like the ritual of it, I don't really think there's a point. If you want your champagne to be a little sweet, you'll add something sweet. I mean, I know you. You'll do what you like, which is good, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, so like that's a different application. So we're not talking about that. I'm assuming when you say sugar cube, you mean any form of granulated sugar that you can smash up in the bottom of a glass. So there's two reasons to do it. The people who like to do it, a lot of times they're mashing it into a citrus peel, and then they're doing kind of a rapid oleo there, where they're trying to smash the citrus or whatever else could be an herb, such that they're using the sugar as a grinding mechanism, right? And so there's that. And then typically also it doesn't dissolve all the way, because it's very hard to dissolve sugar into high proof ethanol. So the sugar tends to not dissolve, and so it will get kind of sweeter as you drink it. Some people like this, I don't, right? So the advantage, I could theoretically say in a drink like an old fashioned, I could say this. I could say, hey, listen, when it is not very diluted yet, you don't need as much sugar. And then as it gets more diluted, you will need more sugar to have the same level of sweetness. That's true. In practice, it doesn't work. Look, do it if you like it. Does that make sense? Is that enough? Do you need me to talk more on this?
I don't think you need to talk more on it.
All right. By the way, Nastassi, I don't know if you've been hearing things. I have been hearing, people have been sending me, and I think maybe also I've shared some with Nastassia, their own stories of Maria Guarnaschelli. And although most of them can't be shared on air, please send them to us, because we enjoy them. Wouldn't you say that, Nastassia?
Yeah.
We thoroughly enjoy them. And someday Nastassi and I will have a completely unexpurgated show. Well, these you can't just not share because they're not families, because some of the people are still alive. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But language is a problem, is what you're saying as well.
No.
Oh, really?
Look, Maria did curse. It's not that she didn't curse. But it's just that, like when she wanted to be rough on someone, she didn't need to use curse words to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I thoroughly enjoy these stories that people are sending me, and I think Nastassi does as well. So please continue to send them to me or to Nastassia. We do we do talk to each other regularly, so you can just send it to one of us.
Yeah,
right, Nastassia?
That is true.
Yeah.
I couldn't. The revelation last week that you had called up to talk about the what was it, a charcuterie book, and like gotten the receiving end of that was made everything make sense.
In retrospect, maybe that's why I was so scared of her the whole time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sounds like it.
I don't know. Man, we could have gone on and on. It was a good group of people last week. Mm-hmm. Anyways.
Yeah, that was great.
And amazing to have Alex on the whole time. We didn't even know. Nastassi and I didn't even know if we were going to. Oh, by the way, John's not here. John is still with us, people. We're not excluding John from the podcast today. He is on grand jury duty. Yeah. That's why he's not here. He's on grand jury duty.
We can only
duty.
Assume he's listening on one earbud and ignoring whatever evidence is being presented.
P.S. Could be an interesting case, or what a case is, because my man's going to go to the Southern District of New York. So.
Look, you're Yeah, you're thinking like mob things. What do you got there?
We don't have Southern District.
Oh, they've. Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I like how like your Rhode Island mind goes directly to mob. But anyway, yeah. Nastasia and I didn't think we were going to get Alex on like at all. So to have her the whole time was kind of amazing. I thought.
Yeah, anyway. She's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So Strange Bird Indy wrote in about, I think Strange Bird is the one who wrote in about the eggs. Remember the eggs and we all tested it and none of it works?
Yeah. The British thing, yeah.
The TikTok thing.
Yeah.
Oh, it just goes to show people, just because somebody did it on TikTok does not mean that it's good. By the way, John sent me, so like every once in a while John sends me stuff. He's like, hey, old man, this is what's trending on the idiot machine today. So I'm like, okay. So have we spoken about this, the folded tortilla machine thing? The folded tortilla thing that people are doing?
No.
I don't really understand. I saw it and I hated it so much that I completely erased it from my mind. But what people are doing now to get their like 8 million views is they're doing like a folded wrap, right? So it's not like they're cooking the tortilla properly, flour tortilla, of course, but they're putting like the different flavors in between different pockets of the tortilla and folding it so that like, you know, like this ingredient will be separated by this other ingredient by a fold of the tortilla, right? And then it all ends up in some sort of vaguely cone-shaped monstrosity. You with me mentally?
Yes.
Yeah. So I want someone out there who can hear the sound of our voices to tell me why on God's earth you would ever want this to happen. Why would I want more crappy, gummy, improperly cooked, improperly reheated tortilla in between every different ingredient that I want? Like, why would you ever want this to happen? Why would you watch somebody doing a video of this? Why would you encourage them? That's all I want to say about that. I just don't understand why anyone would want to do this. And then it's one of those situations where I saw it once and I was like, these people are actively hurting food. And you should not encourage people who are actively hurting food. You shouldn't do it, I don't think. All right, so back to actively hurting food. The TikTok, the British TikTok, they weren't actively hurting food. They were just lying about food.
Yeah.
They're just showing you, did you know you can't trust everything you see on the internet, even if there's a video? Did you know that?
Well, I don't think TikTok's like the like, I don't know, YouTube, or it's for really young people.
Well, like, what do you consider really young? My kids watch it.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, it's like teenagers, yeah. Not like 5-year-olds. No. It's not like it's not like Teletubbies,
right?
Or Boobah. Do you remember Boobah?
Kind of.
Oh.
Boobah. Remember that? And then it was like boodaloodaloo, and then they fart. You don't remember this?
Uh-oh.
Yeah. All right. We had these like, it's one of these things that was invented for the toy, I'm pretty sure. Like it's nonverbal. So like you know, when in between when Booker was born and Dax was born, like they started having a lot of kids programming that was nonverbal come on, where it's like this nonverbal learning stuff. And the Boobah thing was one of those. It was also, I think, flash animation stuff. So it's like you just have colors and things saying Boobah and like fart noises. And I don't know, the kids loved it. Anyway, it's a human torture. These noise toys are, for any of you that are going to go to a baby shower anytime from now till you're going to be dead, the rest of your life, and you don't like the parents, give them noise toys. Nastasia, when you want to be a butthead and you're going to one of your buddy's house,
yeah,
and
I have like kids, 4 baby showers coming up.
So yeah, noise toys.
Yeah, this is good to know. Yeah,
noise toys. Or like, especially, it's even better because like the problem with doing it at a baby shower is they can throw it away before the kids get old enough. It's even better when the person you're giving it to doesn't have the technical skill to open it and cut all the wires to all the speakers, right? Or even better, give a mechanical noise toy because you can't even defeat them, right? But like the best is to go to someone's house that has like a 5-year-old to like a 7-year-old and just give them the loudest, most obnoxious and yet addictive toy that you can. Give it to them about 20 minutes before you leave so you can have the satisfaction of seeing the look on the parents' face. and then hightail it out of that place before the noise drives you nuts.
This is your forever now. Bye.
Yeah. Goodbye. Because then, like, what are you going to do? What is the parent going to do? Throw it away? Bend the kid like a pretzel by throwing it away? What are they going to do?
Yeah. Answer. I was thinking it was a good one for the first baby shower because it decreases the chance that you get invited to future baby showers if they have more kids. But I see how you need the child there to make sure it stays in the house.
Yeah. I'll tell you, it's another thing. When I was a boy, men didn't get invited to baby showers, and we were lucky. You know what I mean? Because they are kind of a nightmare, right, Stas? Baby shower nightmare.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
What's the noise toy equivalent of a wedding for a wedding gift?
Oh.
If you don't like the bride and groom, what are you supposed to give them?
Oh, you give them nothing because you have a year, and then you just let the year pass and then have it fester forever.
Yeah.
You do that for everyone, though, Dave.
That's not true. Now you're just being mean. Now you're just being hurtful, Nastasia.
Am I wrong?
We've never been to a wedding together. When was the last time we were at a wedding together? I mean, I can count it on zero fingers.
We were almost going to go to... Whose were we going to go to?
We went to Ariel's wedding.
Oh, yeah, but we were going to go to one together. I can't remember. Andy Ricker.
Yeah. Yeah, but we couldn't go to Thailand. I forget why.
Right.
I wish. Yeah. I've never been to Thailand.
Oh, man.
You needed to get home.
I currently have a package in Thailand that has been sitting at customs for a month.
What is it?
It's an oil tester. It's a nightmare. It's a freaking nightmare. But, like, it's a $500 thing, and I got it for $250 because someone was selling it in Thailand, right? And the guy didn't have any reviews, right? So I took a chance because PayPal is, you know, PayPal guarantees that you're going to get the thing. And we don't really have them here in the U.S. very much. They're hard to get in the U.S., these oil testers, because in some other countries, you're legally obliged to test your oil to make sure that it doesn't have too many polymerized, polar compounds in it. We're not, and so we don't, right? So they're hard to get here for a reasonable amount of money, but... I don't know. It's just been stuck in Thai customs for freaking a month, dude. And
I'm
he keeps on swearing.
One of our fans would love to pick it up for you now.
Well, I don't want it picked up. I want it in the United States.
That's what
I'm
saying.
It has to make it through customs.
I'm sure there's someone who can pull some strings.
Who could smuggle it?
Who can smuggle it?
Well, the first time, the person who sent it left the battery in it, and the people at customs were like, yo, this was the first 3 weeks. Yo, you can't ship batteries. So then they took the battery out and they shipped it back, but that was like only like a week before the new year, right? So I was like, ah, crap. If it doesn't make it through customs before Lunar New Year, I'm hosed, right? And then I was like, oh, well, maybe I looked it up, and, you know, like, Thailand only just this year officially made Lunar New Year a national holiday, like, right? So I figured, well, maybe I'm okay. They're only going to take maybe the Friday off. So then I sent an email, like, yesterday, because they definitely don't celebrate any President's Day, and I was like, hey, just asking, I see that it's stuck again, and the guy wrote me back, like, within 10 seconds, he's like, little thing called Lunar New Year? I was like, oh, you know what I mean? Over a month. Don't get us started on holiday, on like having to do business across countries with different holiday patterns. Right, Nastasia?
Yes, because
it is not a topic that we should start down the road of.
We should not.
Discussing. We should not.
Just Egg is now the fastest growing egg brand in the United States. Bring more plant-based consumers in your doors with easy to use Just Egg. You can get started with a free sample. Just head to ju.st/hrn. That's ju.st/hrn. Made from plants, Just Egg is a better egg for you and for the planet. It's healthier, with no cholesterol and less saturated fat, and it's more sustainable. Just Egg uses less water and generates fewer carbon emissions. Most importantly, it's delicious. For our listeners who operate a food service establishment, you can get a sample for free. Head to ju.st/HRN. That's ju.st/HRN. Just Egg makes a delicious plant-based addition to any menu. It's available as a liquid scramble. Great for omelets, frittatas, stir fries, and French toast. There's also a frozen pre-baked folded version that's ideal for filling breakfast sandwiches or topping salads. Chef Jose Andres calls Just Egg mind-blowing, and Bon Appetit says, it's so good, I feel guilty eating it. Put the fastest-growing egg brand on your menu. Get a free sample of Just Egg for your restaurant at ju.st/HRN.
So back to Strange Bird, Indy. Thanks for testing the myth and chatting about it. I knew it would be a myth. Although, Strange Bird, I think you should have tried it first and let us know you couldn't get it to work before we wasted three different eggs. I wasted two, so that's four eggs wasted, although they are cheap. I have another. Can I use vacuum evaporation to reduce a liquid or a juice into a syrup at room temperature? What gear would I need? Yes. Okay.
I feel like that didn't cover what gear at a minimum.
Yeah, okay, so listen, as I was saying before, when you apply a vacuum on something, you lower the temperature at which it boils, and a good, like, oil-based refrigeration vacuum pump or a commercial vacuum machine or even a rotary evaporator vacuum pump, it can very easily get a pressure low enough to boil liquid at room temperature. The problems that you're going to have doing this is depends on, as you concentrate it, as it gets higher and higher sugar, it's going to be harder and harder to get the stuff out. You're going to need to be able to suck more and more of a vacuum. But even more importantly is you need to recondense all the liquid, because none of these vacuum machines are designed to suck all of that moisture out. So you're going to need some form of cold trap in between. So you're going to need some form of stirring. You're going to need some form of heating, because as you boil it with a vacuum, you're going to be lowering the temperature to the point where you could even freeze it if you went long enough. So you're going to need to heat it just to keep it at room temperature. Basically, you're going to need to build your own rotary evaporator. The answer is you're going to need to build your own rotary evaporator, right? And I've done it for cheap, but it's a real pain in the butt. You can do it with a stir plate, an Erlenmeyer flask, a cold trap, and a vacuum pump. But, you know, it's more of like a, yay, I did it, not like a, I'm going to use this to make breakfast. You know what I mean?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And even though John's not here, Brian Shooter wrote in about John may not be able, for scheduling reasons, to do his maple syrup this year. But one of my old interns, friends from French Culinary Institute, moved back to Minnesota, Peter Schweigert. And apparently, and he was at Marvel Bar, which I just heard from this contact, unfortunately closed before I could get to go to it, because I haven't been to Minnesota in many, many years. You ever go to Minnesota, guys?
No.
Met really? My wife in Minnesota.
Really?
Yes.
Nice. Huh. Is she from Minnesota?
She was living there at the time, but yeah. No Marvel Bar for me, just the, what was that? The Eagles Club. That's where we went for our first date. Real good cocktails at the Eagles Club.
You really?
Or are you just saying that? No, but they were quite cheap.
Oh, all right. Well, what foodstuffs do you remember from Minnesota?
Oh.
Don't say wild rice. Do not say wild rice. Do not say wild rice. Give me something else.
I won't. I was staying at my brother's house, so I don't remember what. Pasta, probably. I have no idea. We didn't. I'm sure I just ate whatever the hell he had around.
One of my mom's best friend's dad used to be the doctor for the Minnesota Vikings. So we went to Minnesota when I was a kid, and apparently it was a great time, but I was too young to remember. We did catch a boat ton of catfish that nobody wanted to eat, so we buried them in the garden as fertilizer. There endeth my memories of Minnesota. Anyway, so Peter Schweigert goes to, like, upper Minnesota and does maple syrup every year. So Maybe we'll try to contact him. We'll get Mindy has his contact, so we'll hook it up. And if we can get his advice in time for John, if we can get the scheduling to work, we'll have some cooking issues, maple syrup. Although, you think John's going to share any with us, Nastasia, or is he going to keep it all for himself?
I think he'll share. Don't you?
Yeah. If you share the techniques that help him to increase both the quantity and quality of this maple syrup, he'll share with you.
Can't have both.
He might keep it to himself then. Yeah. It's real good.
Yeah. So let me ask you people a question. I'm not going to say anything about this. I'm just going to ask you a question. Matt, I'll ask you, Matt, you're standing in for everyone now. And by the way, people, I want you to know, this is not the standard Dave or Nastasia versus Dave or Dave versus Nastasia situation. Nastasia and I are on the same side of this argument. We have other people we know who are not. Mm-hmm. All right? All right? I'm just letting you know that. So when you're choosing sides, don't try to choose me or Nastasia, because you have to, we're in complete alignment on this.
I don't even know what you're asking.
You're sending, now remember, it's COVID time, right? So a lot of people are sending care packages and it's hard, right?
Oh God, we already somebody got sends, into this.
Well, I'm not going to say what's in it. Someone sends a package. Someone sends a package, Matt, to you, right? For somebody else.
Okay.
Do you open it?
They sent, no.
Okay.
Like,
let's say there's a bunch of weed and mushrooms and you know that they're in there.
I wasn't going to go there, but wow. Okay. There's a bunch of weed and mushrooms in there and you know they're in there. Do you take some as a tax?
Oh, yeah, maybe. That sounds like at that point. At that point, you're clearly transmitting to a friend or something. I'm like, yeah, why not?
Yeah. Let me add this. Since I didn't think we were going to go there, I thought we were going to keep it.
Because, Dave, it changes the story every time when you tell a man of a certain age what is in the package.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what do you mean certain age? Young people, old people, who likes it? What age
kids,
likes it?
TikTok is the new weed for the kids.
Yeah.
Man between the age of 18 and 50, I'd say.
That's not a certain age. That's almost all ages.
Certain age.
Alive. Over half their life. Yeah, if they're living, probably.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, so but my point is that, okay, I think this changes it a little bit. It's being sent to a state where it's legal. So you're not being forced to become a felon for it.
Uh-huh.
You're not being forced to break local laws to receive the package. So you don't get a smuggler's slice.
No, it's true that did. It crossed my mind for sure. I mean, the minute you said what was in it, now all of a sudden I had a very clear picture of like, oh, I'm delivering this package to basically like my college roommate. I'm like, would I take a little bit off the top from his package? Absolutely I would. He owes me.
What? Did you ask?
No. I don't tell him, maybe.
What?
Told you, Dave.
Holy crap.
Told you, Dave.
Yeah.
Listen, when you find somebody's wallet, do you take a fiver out of it before you hand it back to them?
Well, this is why Nastasia is spot on, because I think, like, if you change the contents of the package to literally anything else, I don't think that would
like
be my
candy,
answer.
Wouldn't
like,
take
no,
it
don't
or
touch
like
it. No,
fruit,
of course. Yeah. I mean,
Dave,
no.
You wouldn't take a Twizzler, but you would.
Yes,
what?
Dave. When it is drugs, it's a different. It's,
yeah. I just don't understand it. I just, I mean,
the rules,
like, honestly,
the rules,
like,
the rules are clear. Also, wait, I thought you said that you guys are on the same side of this argument.
We are. Yeah. We wouldn't touch it.
Okay. But Nastasia is just
saying,
like, understands that other
yeah,
people
I
might.
Understand.
Yeah, okay, gotcha. Yeah.
And she's also, which I didn't know, making the further claim that it's a dude thing.
It's a specifically
yeah.
18 to 50-year-old dude yeah. thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I don't know about that, but Nastasia and I are on the same side, and I literally can't understand any other way to look at it other than it's not mine, I don't take any. I literally just can't understand any other thing.
Yeah,
you know what
because,
I mean?
Because, yeah, because when you're in that, if you're already descending into that part of the culture,
but it's legal
it's like,
there.
That's just part, well, yeah. That's new to me, though. I don't know. Yeah, you know. Newfangled legality.
You know, so this guy, he sent all these white truffles to me, so I pulled out my shaver and I was like, chaka, 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 chaka. Ooh, those eggs were good. Here's the rest of your used truffle. What? No. I don't know.
Yeah.
I told you, Dave.
Nastasia used to get the fancy truffles, huh?
We did at Pasta Flyer, yeah.
You like those things?
The white ones, yeah.
You think they're worth it or you just like them?
If they're there, they're good. It's not like, do you ever crave them? No.
Let me ask you a question, separate question. How much money, first of all, like let's say you had non-finite funds. Would, like, when they start shaving and they look at you, first of all, I don't play that game. So like when I got the A5 at the Japanese prime beef here in New York, I had them cross out the price tag because I didn't want the only thing that Jen saw when I got it home to be how much we had spent on the steak. I wanted her to enjoy the taste of it, not the money that was flowing out of our pocketbooks, right? But it's like, I think a lot of people who are doing the truffle thing, like they get extra truffle just so that they can spend a lot of money, true or false?
Yeah, probably.
That's what that looks about. When you're shaving truffle for someone, do you have to give them the look? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, no, I know.
They're like, oh, you can't handle it look, right? That look. And then when they give you the two finger wave, when they give you that, you know what I mean? They wave towards themselves a little bit with those two fingers. Then the slicer gives the nod and the oh look, right? Oh. And then they keep slicing. And then the person, and here's probably almost always a dude, gets embarrassed and they let them overslice, right? Anyway. But if you had a non-finite amount, like when would you stop the slicing? Like, so here's your pile of pasta, right? Here I am with my slicer.
Two layers over all the pasta.
Ooh, that's a hefty amount.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all right. So you like a good amount of truffle.
Yeah, if you're gonna, white.
Okay, how much money would you need to have it be like worthwhile for you? In other words, that you would pay with your own money and not feel bad about it.
Oh, I wouldn't.
Even if you had non-finite money? Gotta support them truffle farm... not farmers, whatever. Finders. Wild crafters. Okay. What were we talking about? How did we get on that?
I have a question. I have a question about sourcing truffle. So I had heard there is some amount of, like, fraudulent truffle purveying. Is that correct? Like, Nastasia, when you were trying to source them for Pasta Flyer, is that a thing you had to worry about? Like the
No, because Mark had his super high-end contacts and that was like verified and all that stuff. So I can't speak to fraudulent truffles. Can you, Dave?
Well, I mean, I haven't personally bought, but if you're a Jamoke, then the odds that you get taken are high. I'll tell you what. I was at an event. I think, Stas, you were there too, but I don't remember what the event was, right? And at the event, one of the things was a giant, like, white truffle. Like, one of those ones that looks like a human brain. It was totally effed up. And they were auctioning it, not effed up like crazy, right? It wasn't quite human brain size. Maybe, like, monkey. Anyway, so, like, they're auctioning it off. Remember this, Nastasia? And like they brought it out and they were auctioning it off at this charity event. And we were sitting next to or standing next to some truffle expert who was already like six glasses of champagne into their cups, right? And we turned to them and they're like, I smelled it, it's frozen. It was frozen, I can tell. It doesn't have the aroma. It's ruined, it's garbage, it's trash. And then I was like, oh, Jesus. Like, this is not even something I knew you had to worry about. You know what I mean? Like, but apparently, like, to maintain this, like, super truffle, they had frozen it, and thereby, for someone who knew any better, they ruined it, right? But they were going to auction it off for a lot of money to someone who didn't know any better. Someone who was just sitting there nodding their head up and down when someone was shaving the stuff over it. You remember this, Nastasia?
I don't think I was with you there.
I mean,
I would ever remember that.
All right. You would remember that. That's something you would remember.
Yeah.
Anyways. But so, yeah, there's a lot of fraud. I mean, obviously, everybody knows that truffle oil is 9 out of 10 times fraudulent, right? So
Yeah, real bad.
All right. So Dave Jensen wrote it. Now, I have to say, people, I apologize slightly. This morning, I was deep into a 3D modeling hole. Nastasia and I have a lot of, like, real-world business problems that we're dealing with right now, and we're trying to solve them all during the Lunar New Year, because as soon as all of our factories, quote-unquote, come back online, we're going to need to have a lot of answers for them. So, like, basically, my days are spent buried in 3D modeling and testing. So I'm reading these questions, and I may or may not have never seen them before. So you're getting my unvarnished, unprepared response. All right? Dave Jensen via email. Want to say, love the show. Well, thanks. After discovering it in 2019, I made the plunge in spring of 2020 to begin listening to the back catalog. I have less than 100 episodes to go to get caught off. Jeez, that's a lot. You listen to a lot. I know you think those of us who listen to old episodes are crazy. Oh, there you go. And while that may be true, it has been an excellent informative distraction since COVID started. I don't recall this being mentioned, but it's in the last 100. Just listen to the last 100. This question's going to get answered. I don't even know what the question is. I just know that in the last 100, it's in there.
There were very thorough episodes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So thorough. Like, remember, once, so how many have we done? 8 million? So, like one, like, there's only 100 of them, but those 100, we do nothing but answer real questions. Right, Nastasia? You just have to find them. They're secretly hidden. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't recall this being mentioned, but I found a company that sells, biodegradable vacuum bags for sous vide cooking. Remember that guy that took the class with us who only called it sous vide?
No, I don't remember.
And his only reason for existence was to make pickled onions and sell them. And he would come up to us after every event at the French Culinary and be like, the onions, the onions. And he would ask us questions about his onions. You don't remember this guy?
No.
And then he would come up. So like Nils and I would be doing a demo. Nastasia would be there. We had the interns, the entire entire demo stage is like littered with detritus from like all the crazy demo stuff. And then Mr. Onions would start approaching the demo area from the audience, and Nils would just be like, oh, I gotta go. And he would go, and I would be stuck talking to Mr. Onions for like 45 minutes. And then Nastasia would be staring knives through my body as though I wanted to talk to Mr. Onions.
Sometimes it seems like you do.
Listen, people, I like onions more probably than the next guy, but I don't want to talk more than three times about your pickled onions. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Anyway. You like those tiny Italian pickled onions, the wild ones?
Yeah.
What are those called? Yeah, they're good though. All right. I don't recall being mentioned, but I found a company that sells biodegradable vacuum bags for sous vide cooking. I've traditionally used Ziploc bags for all of my low temperature work, but recently purchased a Vesta vacuum sealer. And when I went to order some bags, I saw they had new biodegradable bags on their website. I've only used them twice, but did a side-by-side on wings for the Super Bowl. What do you like for your Super Bowl eats, Nastasia?
We have wings and chili. Yeah.
Mm. Mm, chili, like chili in a bowl, or like with fixings, like with cheese and onions and all that crap, or
no, just in a bowl.
In a bowl, all right. But so like you have the separately with your wings. Are you like a buffalo sauce? Do you do the blue cheese?
No, my mom does it, and they are over. She fries them for like an hour. The wings, I swear to God, and I choked. It was
this year?
Yeah, this was last weekend, right? Yeah.
You choked?
I choked. Well, I had to spit. It was like the darkest brown, you know.
Mm. Do you know, and that's without breading. It was just dark brown.
Yeah, dark brown.
Like shriveled.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like our favorite newscaster. Okay. So then
newscaster.
Yeah, yeah.
Who?
We'll
get into
it. We'll talk about it later. The But, you know, it's Jen, my wife, it's her, one of her biggest fears is that, like, either I or one of the kids will choke. That's her biggest fear. So anytime it says choke, don't ever say choke in front of Jen. She'll, like, think somebody's choking. It's, like, it's up there. It's, like, the way that you're afraid of like, getting electrocuted or people getting electrocuted.
Yeah.
She's afraid of choking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a problem. Like, with fish bones and stuff, it's a problem. You know what I mean? Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. How was the chili?
Good, because my dad made it.
Whoa. Calling out your mom.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Shots fired. Yikes.
Wow. It was good because my dad made it. Wow.
She likes it. If there's a little bit of like moisture in chicken, she gets a little, you know, crazy.
Mm.
Huh.
Is your dad a beans or a no beans?
Beans.
Beans. Beans and beef.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I like beans. Although I enjoy a non-bean chili, but I also, I like it any which way. As long as it tastes good, I like it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So David Jensen said, I have only used these biodegradable bags. That's what we're talking about, by the way. I've only used these biodegradable bags twice so far, but did a side-by-side on wings for the Super Bowl, and they held up well for 1 hour at 65 degrees Celsius. I haven't tried anything else to put them to the test. Do you have any tests you think might be worth running to see how well they hold up versus plastic? They are about 50% more expensive than regular bags. The gallon bags are about $1, and wow, that is a lot more. Hold on one sec. I was just having someone stop making noise.
Yes.
In the background. Yeah. I haven't tried anything else to put them to the test. Do you have any tests you think would be worth running? All right. My question, David, is I haven't got a chance to look at them yet, but a lot of times when people say that plastic is biodegradable, it's not really biodegradable. What it is that it breaks up into microplastic. So I'd be interested. I'll do some. Hold on one second.
What do you think is going on?
This definitely sounds like, you know, just lunch, some lunch prep. Hopefully Dave gets a slice. Yeah.
Still going.
What is it?
All right, there we go. You know, I tell the kids I have 1 hour a week where I need mm-hmm. silence in the living room, which is where I shoot the thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, and you know what? It's like, it's not like they're going anywhere, right? Like, they can eat lunch before, they can eat lunch after, right? Comes in, knocking plates around, running the disposal, pulling seltzer until the, because like Dax drinks out of this giant mug, pulling seltzer until the freaking motor turns on, right? So I'm like, yo, the first time I went off, I was like, yo, stop. Like, eat lunch afterwards. You don't even have school today. It's not like you're doing it around classes. It's in between games of whatever they play, Halo or Call of Duty, whatever garbage they play nowadays.
I don't have school.
President's week. What? Kids get a whole week off.
They get a week off?
I thought we stopped.
Freaking week.
I thought we stopped celebrating white men like this past year.
Yeah, I thought President's Day was
Obama was not a president.
Well,
All right. Don't think Obama's a black man. Okay. All right.
Also, I would like to say that I am canceled until further notice.
Oh, this is your. This
you?
Is
yourself canceled.
Nastasia yes. has a. Okay, discuss pre-canceled. Nastasia is a believer in pre-canceled.
I think everyone should be born canceled until the committee of whatever Gen Z, Gen AA, whatever the next thing decides otherwise.
Sees fit to uncancel
yes.
them.
Yes.
Huh.
Prove yourself
bold.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Why, Dave? Look, that's I thought you agreed.
Why?
I thought you agreed.
Because.
Did you have this idea in response to the Cancel Kids skit?
No, I had it before the SNL thing.
What's a Cancel Kids? I don't remember this. All I'm saying is that, you know, okay.
Right, like, you heard it first, I'm canceled.
Yeah, but not really. You just want to make this point.
No, I don't.
That everyone should be pre-canceled. What do you mean? You just said you.
Oh yeah, I think that would be a good idea. I know it's not going to happen, but I'm pre-canceling myself so that.
What does that mean, though? That mean you can't listen to yourself?
No, that means
you're getting off of social media. What does it mean?
It means I'm going to delete her channel. It'll just be blank space every time Nastasia spoke.
Well,
in
listen,
the show.
I don't want Nastasia to be canceled.
Why?
Because she's still on the show, and I would prefer if you guys continue to listen to Cooking Issues.
Wait,
because if you're canceled, they can't listen to Cooking Issues. That's why. Yeah, that's what canceled means. So, you know, you should still be young enough to kind of realize what it means. It means that no one would listen to you anymore. And as this is like part of our business,
I guess it could be just canceled except for this show.
Yeah, that's not the way canceling works. That's not the way canceling works.
I'm starting to get a sense when Nastasia was like, TikTok is for young people. I'm now getting it that like where Nastasia falls generationally. Yeah. Like
Nastasia,
not on board with TikTok. Not 100% clear on the canceling.
Yeah, you're not old enough to be old yet, Nastasia.
I know.
Just keep it mellow for a couple more years. All right, you know. So it's like, jeez, yeah, lunacy. So most of these bags that say they're biodegradable, and I don't know this from cooking bags, I know it from dog poop bags. Most dog poop bags that say they are biodegradable aren't actually biodegradable. What happens is they break up into tiny pieces and then end up being tiny little pieces of polyethylene called microplastic that like litter the ground, and the ground actually becomes a certain percentage microplastic, which is not, I think, ideal. So most of the people I know that are doing work with real actual biodegradable plastics, one of the issues with them is that they tend to absorb moisture over time, because they're biodegradable, and so they tend to have a finite lifespan. And in fact, back when Nastassi and I thought we were going to maybe sell snack products, we had spoken to some people about some bioplastics used in bags, and they said that they only work if you have very good control over the manufacturing, and you get it straight from the manufacturer and don't let them absorb any moisture. Otherwise, they're a huge pain in the butt. So, and by absorb moisture, I mean not like disintegrate absorb moisture. I mean absorb small amounts of moisture in the way that, let's say, nylon might. Anyway, that's my take on it. But I will research those and see whether or not they are what I call feel-good biodegradable. I can't see it, so it's probably not in the earth still, versus actual biodegradable, like turns back into stuff that animals can use and turn into more animal parts. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. H-O-O-V-E. How do you think you pronounce that? Hoov?
H-O-O-V? Yeah.
H-O-O-V-E. Hoov. Yeah. That's cool. Hoov. Do you know what people don't say anymore?
What?
If I said Hoover, would you know what I meant?
You mean like a vacuum, yeah.
So, yeah, but like yeah. To ingest something quickly. Inhale, yeah.
Yeah, so that's still current. People would still know what that means.
I don't know.
I mean, I think we've already established that we're maybe not on the cutting edge of culture.
Do you think people in Boston still say, put it in the Frigidaire? You think they still say that?
Yes.
I hope so.
Yeah. Frigidaire. It's not like, because as if that's a brand anyone even remembers anymore, but like in the Medford part of my family, you'd say, put it in the refrigerator, and they're like, what the hell's that? Frigidaire? You know what I mean? And then like, you're like, yeah, the Frigidaire. And I don't think they ever had a Frigidaire brand refrigerator. Anyway, it's a good brand name though. Frigidaire. Uh-huh. Right? Yeah. Okay. Anyway. Hoove Thompson wrote in and said, hey, I'm here with multiple annoying questions. So I'm not going to read through the whole thing. I'm going to go one by one. And if you don't like the questions, just ask you, we'll stop and we'll bump it to the next one, right? That's how you want to roll?
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right. Firstly, I just got some transglutaminase. So for those of you that, don't know, it's meat glue. So transglutaminase is the enzyme that, glues different meats together, covalently bonding the different protein strands. And I'm looking to start experimenting. What I want to do is make steak with chicken skin glued on, sort of the first thing people do with meat glue. Well, I don't know if it's the first thing, but it's one of the first things you do with meat glue. It's delicious. Like 72-hour short rib with sous vide. My go-to method would be to sous vide the steak, then glue the skin, then hot skillet. Nope, wrong. Will the meat glue work when the steak is already cooked? It will, but that's not what you should do. Lastly, if I brine a piece of beef with a relatively low salt concentration, like 0.25 to 0.5%, will I get a cured texture? Will I reap the rewards of juiciness from brining? So I'm going to take that as a question. First of all, the brining is a subject of much debate. I am not a believer in the word dry brine. There is salt. And then there's a question is, how am I going to add the salt, right? Now, the problem with meat is that... meat with a lot of connective tissue can benefit from brining in long cook situations. Meat where the texture is primarily determined by the muscle fibers will take on a cured texture when it is salted too long ahead of time, especially if you're going to cook and chill it. You should glue the skin to the meat first, because both the skin and the meat will contract and they will stick together. Meat glue also works much better on raw meat. If you think about the way a chicken works, you don't rip the skin off of a chicken, cook a chicken, and then glue the skin back onto a chicken. You cook it as kind of one unit. So if you want a good bond, and the one we always used to do was skirt steak, we would bond chicken skin to skirt steak and then trim it. And the reason you do that is that, you know, it's a relatively good thickness to fry up. You can also low temp it with the skin on all the way through, pull it, let it dry out like you would for chicken skin, and then fry it as normal, right? So I would just say that. And remember, you don't need to worry about, as long as you don't puncture the meat, right? I wouldn't worry that much about salmonella contamination from the chicken skin in, as long as you don't puncture the meat, because the outside where the skin is going to be fried to a very high temperature. So you should kill all that stuff dead. And also, even the relatively low temperatures at which you'd cook a steak in a sous vide bath are going to be enough to wipe out or at least stop the growth of your friend salmonella. Right? Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, make sense? Yeah?
Yes.
All right. Joe Ankowitz wrote in, hey, quick question. How much vital wheat gluten do you use in your breads? Also, you mentioned adding yeast to your bread recipes in addition to starter. At what point do you add the yeast, and how much do you use? Thanks, Joe Ankowitz. Okay, so how much wheat gluten, you know, I add, depending, from zero to however much, you know, I tend to not add more than about 10 grams to every 400 grams or so, or 10 grams to 400. I tend not to add more than that, which is, I guess, what is that, like 2.5% or something like that? I tend not to add more, but I don't use it on wheats that I don't think are deficient, right? So like everyone goes crazy over Red Fife wheat, but you know, relative to other wheats that I use, like Redeemer or Turkey Red or some of these other harder wheats, it doesn't have, I don't think, as strong a gluten. And so when I use Red Fife, I'll hit it with a little bit of gluten. But remember, you have to jack your hydration a little bit. But you know, I would just test it and see how you like it. A little bit is good, you know, for breads that are underperforming on their rise. The yeast, if you're going to add yeast at all, just add it when you add the other leavening, and add it small enough such that the rise time is what you want, right? So what you're doing is the sourdough starter is there. It's producing the sourness. So like if you have a sourdough that's getting too sour too fast, right? Because what's happening is you haven't had a chance to condition it yet. And so you're like pulling it out of the fridge. You're maybe only doubling it once and then adding it. So it's going to get real sour real quick and slack the dough out. You add just add enough yeast to balance that back such that, you know, it rises in the time that you want it to. But I can't give you a number. You just have to figure it out. You know what I'm saying? Based on your individual starter. That makes sense, Nastasia?
Yes.
Because no? Remember, your starter, my starter are different. How you treat your starter, how I treat my starter are different. I'm a lazy person. And so like, you know, like when I'm using the starter, I want it to be able to come out of the fridge. I want to be able to double it up, put it in that day, right? And then do whatever I'm going to do with the bread. I don't want to have to think 2 days in advance about my starter, right? So I build the recipes around the knowledge that that's the level of pain in the butt I'm willing to go to. Just understand yourself and how much of a pain in the butt you want your life to be, and then build your recipes around that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
One more question, Dave. Truth.
All right. Okay. How do you think this person's name breaks down? Jake Nancaro, I think, is how this name breaks down via Instagram. Hey, Dave and the Cooking Issues crew. I'm from Melbourne, Australia, which is pronounced Melbourne, not Melbourne. What do you think about that, Stas? Melbourne.
I have chills.
Wait, did he put that in there, or you're just telling people?
No, I was told to say this. It's pronounced Melbourne.
Yeah. Okay.
Melbourne, like my brother Ben. Melbourne. Not Melbourne, with like a lot of O's. Melbourne, but I kind of prefer the. I mean, whatever. Your city, you get to call it. You get to call it what you want. You know, it's one of the rights you have. You have a city, you get to call it what you want. Look, we have a street. We call it Houston. You don't get to tell us it's Houston. It's not. It's Houston. It's our street. We live here, mm-hmm. Right? Anyway, all right. You'll have to excuse my accent, Nastasia. She can't hear it, but now you're making me
Let's
hear
be
it by
clear,
saying no.
Dave also hates the accent.
I have certain... Okay, I will say this about the Australian accent. There's which is the word that that both of us find thoroughly, we can't imitate it? Like, we can imitate a lot, but what's the word we can't imitate?
I don't know.
It's there's a word, there's a vowel-based word in an Australian accent. Oh, so, the word so.
Oh, yeah, it's sore.
We can't do it. Yeah, we can't, I can't wrap my mind around it. Anyway, it's so. Anyway, but not so like S-E-W, so like anyway, whatever.
No, when I was in New Zealand, I noticed that the word no could include all of the vowels, and it's quite confusing.
Say it, Matt.
I can't.
But it's like nor almost. It's like nor almost.
Yeah.
No.
I just yeah.
Can't be imitated by a non-trained American, a non-voice acting trained American. Can't really. Like, we kind of grew up imitating British people here in this country, but, like, we didn't grow up, at least my generation didn't grow up trying to imitate this particular, like, consonant plus the letter O from Australia. We can't do it. You know what I mean? And it's different from, like, the Canadian Surrey and out. Like, that we can do. You know what I mean? Badly, I'm sure, but we can wrap our minds around it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so we're back to Melbourne. I've been listening to your pod for a couple of weeks now. I've been trying to listen to the whole backlog. I started listening backwards, but that was some weird Benjamin Button crap. Have we haven't read this question? Now I'm having a Benjamin Button moment and a Merlin moment. By the way, there's some sort of new Stonehenge thing out with Merlin. I got to look it up because you know I like Stonehenge. You know I like Stonehenge?
I know you like Stonehenge.
Do you remember this? What are the 2 days in the year where you can actually go on to Stonehenge with almost no rules?
Solstice and solstice.
Correct. Now, which one of those two solstices is crowded?
The one that's the sunnier
one. The warm one?
Ding, 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 ding. So what I'm saying is, let's do the cooking issues, winter solstice at Stonehenge. Yeah, we go hang out at Bath, have some delicious vegan cider, go freeze our butts off on the plane, and then be like, I'm in Stonehenge on the solstice, and we don't have to deal with all the people that can't handle the cold weather. You know what I mean?
Sounds great.
You know what I mean? None of those VW camper vans, they're too old and they're not maintained well enough. They can't drive in that cold of weather. You don't need to worry about those people showing up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyways, I like Stonehenge. Anyways. Hearing about the things you talked about in reverse, we're talking about Benjamin Button again. So I'm tackling it year by year, starting at 2020 and going backwards. My question is about kitchen scales, and if you have any specific recommendations. I didn't talk about this already. I think I talked about this already.
I feel like you talked about this.
I feel like I talked about it. Listen, what I recommend, here's the problem. I've gone on eBay, and there's a number of people on Amazon. And by the way, these are made in China, so it's even closer to Melbourne, right? And they're being shipped from China. So like, if it's being shipped from China to the United States, they'll definitely full Melbourne you, right? You want to look at, they have these ones now, 5 kilograms, get this, by the 0.01 grams. Now, are they accurate at 0.01 grams? No, but they are accurate to about a tenth of a gram. But the problem if you buy them super cheap, so like you can get them for like $100 or 100 and something dollars from a legitimate company. Or you can go and get last year's model from the factory that made them, right, shipped directly to you. And the problem is that you could get a dud or you could get a great one. So I have a 30 kilogram kitchen scale that's by the 10th gram that is my day-to-day kitchen scale because I got really lucky. I also have a 5 kilogram by the 100th gram, and that sucker has, you know, about a gram's drift as it heats up over the course of an hour. But, you know, I love this. I love a scale that plugs in because is there anything worse than you're trying to measure something and it's like, ooh, you know what I'm going to do right now? I'm going to save the battery because that's what's important. Not the measurement that you've been working on. It's the battery that's important and it turns off your scale in the middle of a measurement. For any of you that ever had this happen again, I want you to go take your scale. I want you to hit it with a sledgehammer. I want you to throw it away and go get you a scale that can get plugged in because guess what? All of the scales that plug in also take a battery. So you can have your battery in it and you can take it wherever you want, but then when push comes to shove, it's not going to turn off in the middle of a measurement. When was the last time How many times has this happened to you? You put the bowl on the thing. You go, you get your brown sugar. You're putting your brown sugar in the bowl. The brown sugar runs out or whatever. It gets clumped and you're like, oh, geez. And then you have to go over and you have to get scissors to open the brown sugar more, to open new brown sugar. You get back, you're just putting the new brown sugar into the bowl. And by the way, you've added half the brown sugar already, right? Half you've added, but not exactly half. And you weren't like sitting there with a pen and paper and writing down how much brown sugar you added. There's already eggs in this son of a gun. There's already freaking buttermilk. It's already all in there, right? Right? You're just adding brown sugar, right? And then right when you're... Boom, it turns off. And then when you turn it back on again, it's at zero, and then you're sitting there trying to guess.
Yeah.
Nightmare.
Yeah.
Nightmare.
Just yesterday, I was doing the full arm's length reach across the kitchen for just to, like, to tap on the scale so that it would, on the bowl, so that it wouldn't yeah. It would read a small change and wouldn't reset, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's a nightmare. I think whoever thought that was a good idea, what I think the scale should do is be like, yo, you want me to save the battery or your work? And I'll be like, work, thank you. You know what I mean? Like, that would be okay, you know?
Yes.
Or anything. Or like, how about this? How about this? Like, if I've touched a button in the last hour, just keep it on for an hour. Just keep the sucker on for an hour. You know what I mean? And every time I touch the button, keep it on for an hour, right?
Yeah.
That's the way the next spins law is going to work, by the way, people. We're trying to get rid of the timers. Because the timers had tendency to, they were never accurate. I didn't care about that. They're mainly just so that you don't leave the thing on forever. So I think what we're going to try to do is make it such that when you turn it on, if you don't touch a button for an hour, it just turns off. Because you should touch your spins all at least once an hour. Spins all at least once an hour. Right? Right?
Interesting slip. Yeah, you shouldn't do this with a spins all. If you touch it once, it stays on for an hour. That seems like a bad idea.
Well, people do that with the torches. I tell them not to, but people do it. Like the torches have a lock on, right? It makes me nervous.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're making me nervous, Matt.
Yeah, sorry. My bad.
Yeah. Anyways. So is that it? Is that all I'm allowed to do?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Did we get to the end of the question? Yeah, yes.
We got that, but listen, Zero Anima wrote back and said they want to ask something. It's real quick, so let's get
it.
Trying to clarify pineapple juice, I have both agar-agar and Pectinex, a vegan one. They're all the Pectinexes that I know of are fungal, so they're vegan, right? Would this be enough? I don't have a centrifuge, and I'm not sure if it requires freeze-thaw. Thanks. You can hit pineapple juice with Pectinex, and then you have to use a little more because the Pectinex is broken down by the proteolytic enzymes in the pineapple juice, assuming it's fresh. So you might have to add a little more. And you might have to add some fining agents just because pineapple juice is fairly acidic. But then that will settle out over the course of a day or two. And then you can rack off the top and you'll lose some. Or you can do... this is interesting. I haven't tested agar freeze-thaw on pineapple, whether or not there's any problem with the enzyme. But there shouldn't be, right? There shouldn't be. So freeze-thaw agar should be fine. You can do a quick agar. And if you don't want the pineapple to taste cooked, you should do a similar thing to what I do with lemon or lime juice, where you boil the agar separately. The no-boil agar doesn't really work very well. So it will work, but the problem then is you either have to cook a portion of the pineapple juice or you have to add water, which is going to make it more watery. And agar clarification is on the no-fly list for Nastasia. She'll never do it again. Never. What else is on that list?
Garlic cutting.
Oh, you don't peel garlic?
Not at my own house.
So if you go to someone else's house, you'll do the unpleasant thing, but you won't force your guest to do it?
Oh, no, I just won't do it, period. Won't do it. Unless I'm by myself, which, yeah.
Well, why? Wait. Oh, wait. So you will, in other words, you will make the sacrifice if you're by yourself and you want garlic.
But if anyone's around, I'm not doing it.
That's somebody else's job. That's like my mom who claims she's allergic to shrimp. If there's raw shrimp, get this, people. My mom is like, I have a contact dermatitis with raw shrimp, so you have to peel all the shrimp and devein them.
Oh, yeah, that's unpleasant, like, too.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, you really think my mom has a contact dermatitis to raw shrimp, or is it really that she just likes my hands to get that slime? You know when the shrimp slime, like it, if you're doing it and then someone talks to you and you even just, like, sit there with your hands in the air for a couple of minutes and it starts to dry and you get that dry?
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You know what I don't like about chopping garlic? I don't like that it ends up, not only does your hand smell forever, but the stickiness bothers me for some reason.
Yeah.
You know that tackiness of cooked garlic bothers me.
Yeah.
Hey, do you get ticked off when someone else does it for you, but they leave some of the skin
in? Oh, yeah.
But that happens all the time. You're like, where were you born?
Yeah.
What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Do you let other people saute the garlic, or do you assume they will burn it, and so you take
no,
it as
actually,
a shot?
No, actually, all my friends in this quarantine have, or at least my West Coast friends, have become really great cooks. So I don't even have to cook anymore.
Well, that's good news. I like to hear that.
I don't know about here. Yeah. Not here.
We gotta go.
What?
Okay.
What, Matt?
We gotta go.
Wait, we were about to sign off, and you're like, no, wait.
Oh, well.
You gotta sign off now.
Look, it's basically impossible to tell, based on what is being said, whether the show will continue further. Like, anything could become another question.
True.
I'm gonna go ahead and say that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair statement. All right, well, good to have you back on this coast, Nastasia. See you next week.
Yeah, I'll see you in August.
Oh, why? Is that when you're gonna get vaccinated or whatever? Anyway, all right, cooking issues.
Cooking Issues is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Latham.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.